This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Mom, Thibaut Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a Friday evening. A big, big edition of ENN. So big, in fact, that it's brought to you by my friends. The WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker U.S. Network. I'd like to start off, if I can, and I will, by saying good evening to Michael.
My family didn't own a business. We hardly could even do business with a business.
Okay. And then I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Trey Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, because they said everybody.
So good. One of the most underrated moments of all time on the show, if you ask me.
So you think I can make a run?
Yeah. I mean, it's not you yelling.
No, it's not sniff him dead.
Nothing sniff him.
There's the champion.
You just love Tiger. sniff him dead.
I found the other day myself walking around saying sniff him dead, like it was a song that was in my head.
I just love
to
Tiger.
Yourself out loud.
Sniff him dead.
Out loud. Out loud.
While you in the street or are you walking around the apartment?
A bit of a street walker.
Yeah, I'm not a street walker, so it was in my apartment, but I was just going, sniff him. You just love Tiger. Sniff him dead.
We have a lot of musically inclined people out there.
Yeah, why don't you put some beats to it?
Why don't, make it a
hip-hop
song.
And this just in.
Rock song.
This just in, I have three picks from Incarcerated Bob.
Three. Nice. Go.
Bob likes the Chargers.
Ooh.
Getting 2.5.
Against Don.
Right in my face.
Peter.
That's in my face against Atlanta. He likes the Seahawks minus 13.5.
That's with me.
And he likes the Ravens, who I also considered, minus 2.5. That's Incarcerated Bob, who I believe is 500 on the year so far.
And then R.J. Bell's pick was what, the... The over in like
the Texans
State
was his pick. His game pick was the Texans.
Got it. I considered the Texans in my my weird I don't understand it picks. I mean, is it about a weather thing that they would only be half a point against Chicago? Seems weird, but
the other game I really thought about if I had the pick and didn't waste it. Last night was the Titans bouncing back in Jacksonville.
Thought about it.
Now I was a little scared off by the hook at 7.5, but
there were two that I thought about. I love New Orleans against Philly, given 6.5, and I really thought about taking the Giants. I just don't know though.
The number with New Orleans worries
6.5.
Yeah, right. I was a little worried about that.
That number worries me because if randomly Hill starts playing like Hill, and they can't move the ball, and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, but you've got a worse Hill playing for Philly.
It's so bad it hurts. You're hurting me! That's the Jalen Hurts.
Are we not playing that in...
Yeah, I think... Listen, I know we haven't heard from Morris, and we're worried, but all the more reason we should be playing his drops.
But we've been, honestly, we've been searching. I have, Andrew has. The obituaries. Well, we don't know his last name, but we know where he, you know, the region he lives in. He's a rabbi. I would think there'd be a write-up if he did pass. So
why even talk about this? What if he's okay and just hasn't
been able
to get through?
Because it's odd. He called like at least once a week. We heard from him, I think, in April. It's been like 8 months we have not heard from him during a pandemic. The logic is too overwhelming. Now, I don't know because I know priests sometimes get transferred and moved.
He wasn't active.
He wasn't an active rabbi.
He wasn't active anymore.
He was not on the 40-man.
So if he had moved or something, I would think he'd reach out. I know our lines are jammed, especially now since the move.
But it's also weird. I mean, no one knows him and has emailed or called and said anything. It's all very strange. But either way, troubling. And I just want to be able, though, I think we all agree that when we talk about Jalen Hurts, we can play. You're hurting me. It doesn't have to
hurt Andrew.
Yeah.
You're hurting me.
Now, it's interesting. Like, you're still God mathematically hates me. Alive, Andrew. So is there any belief in your system at all?
No, because I've had it. No, this is not a playoff team, even in this division. No way.
Sad. But you have
Dombrowski. There's a lot of big stories to get to. And
we'll get to them.
Well,
go.
Hold on. And
then Michael will make his 26th decision.
And it's 6:10. But before I get to these stories, I need 60 more seconds for Don to just tell us about his dream last night.
All right, quickly.
Quickly, Don.
And this stuck with me all day, which is rare.
This is a Don LaGreca dream.
I am watching Eagles-Giants with Andrew.
Beautiful.
And it's still, you know how dreams are. It's kind of iffy. Was I on site or on television? I couldn't really tell.
Fully clothed?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the Eagles are up 37-31. And the Giants hit a receiver for a big play. And that receiver...
Mm-hmm. Newly acquired, right?
Newly acquired receiver is Johnny Depp.
Okay.
Now, Johnny Depp is not in uniform.
He's just Johnny Depp.
Wow.
He makes the catch, and he's heading towards the end zone.
Wow.
For what would be the go-ahead touchdown. He begins to high-step it like Deion Sanders.
Right.
And he sticks the ball out in front of him in celebration, and as he gets close to the goal line, he drops the ball, and it ping-pongs around the end zone, goes out of bounds. Ball belongs to the Eagles, and I'm livid. And you know why I'm livid? I'm livid because... I'm actually saying to Andrew, see, this isn't the Pirates of the Caribbean. This is football. What's he doing on the team? Like, I'm ripping the Giants why he's an option. And then I start to question Andrew, which is so logical and dreamy. It's like, and can you explain to me why they're playing the Eagles for a third time?
My favorite part, Michael, is picturing a real-life Don LaGreca getting on the air and angrily yelling, "This isn't the Pirates of the Caribbean! This is the NFL, for God's sake! That's why you don't sign Johnny Depp!"
You know what my favorite part is?
What?
So now the franchise extends to dreams. He does the Don show on this show. He does the Don show when he's off the air. Now he does the Don show during dreams. There's never a time to take a breath when you're the host of the Don Show.
That's exactly right.
I don't know what it is. I need to talk to somebody about this because it's hard to put it into words because dreams are really hard to kind of get the atmosphere. But wherever the dream takes place, guys, there's something about that place that just, it's amazing. Like the background of the stadium, it was not at MetLife Stadium or at the Link.
But it's never quite right. It's always off.
It kind of had like this... like the old, like Franklin Field to it, kind of, but the sky was like a brilliant blue, and it just seemed like a place you wanted to be.
Andrew, what did you say to him about
that? Where like the places are like, this is a really cool place.
Andrew, what'd you say? Why were they playing a third time? What was your answer, Don?
I don't know. I was more concerned with why Johnny Depp was a Giant. I guess it's just a Gettleman decision,
and also the decision. To
Wacky Gettleman.
To,
you know, we brought like, in Johnny.
He was in a shirt kind of like similar to Michael's. He was like wearing like shorts and kind of had like a kind of colorful like button down shirt on. So he wasn't even in uniform.
Johnny Damon.
Boy, but can he play?
He got a little full of himself. Instead of just putting a note, being Barry Sanders and throw the ball back, he had to celebrate, and he cost the Giants a touchdown.
Sad.
I also dream in color.
Would you agree, Peter?
Yeah.
Like the old Seinfeld line, he needs to be looked at.
24/7.
In Vienna.
Yep.
Many doctors, 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Like the place where they sent Mike Myers in Halloween when he was a kid. When they discovered he was dangerous?
So I'm dangerous. Because the only reason you would have like a whole squad of people examining you is that you kill
people. You're like a sizzler buffet for a hungry person for a psychiatrist.
You need Dr. Things. Loomis is what I'm saying. Dr. Loomis was the only man who understood Michael Myers. And at times he had to take him out himself.
And that's Anthony Pleasant, right?
I don't know his real name, but that sounds right. He was the old guy.
Yeah.
Dr. Loomis. Let's go to the jump. Paul Pierce spoke on The Jump about Kyrie Irving's decision to not talk to the media. Here's Paul Pierce.
This is what comes with the job. You know, you're a role model, you're a superstar. Whether you're a basketball player, an actor, or whatever field you're in, you're in the limelight, and this all comes with your job. It's only a distraction if you let it be a distraction. But you got to understand, when you signed up for this, when you got drafted, when you signed these big contracts, when you're a superstar in this league, this is what you sign up for.
Well, I couldn't say it better. I tried, but that's an NBA champion, great player, and he gets it. And Kyrie doesn't.
Let's hear from Windhorse at Sea, who was on The Jump with Paul Pierce.
This is everything to me, Rachel, and it's not because he called the media pawns. He doesn't have to like the media, that's fine. But, you know, 2.5 years ago, I went to North Dakota when Kyrie Irving went to the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe Reservation. And he went there for several reasons. And he gave those kids and those people there an incredible day as he officially joined the tribe. He donated $100,000 that day, and that was important. But the real thing, the real important, and why the media were there, was because the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe wants people who have been adopted out of their community to come back home. And Kyrie's mother was adopted out of that community. And the media giving attention to that was their ability to show to the outreach of their nation to come back. And that's where the media and awareness and the NBA players can work together. Now, I am very aware that Kyrie Irving has donated several million dollars just this year to charity endeavors. I am aware that he gave food and masks to the Standing Rock Sioux again this year. I'm aware of what he meant for those kids. On that day in North Dakota, he stood there for hours and shook every single one of their hands to give them a moment. And being there to document that was so important, not just that he did a good deed, but because of what it means to that entire community. And for Kyrie, for somebody who cares so deeply about his outreach and what he does outside the basketball court, to act like the media doesn't play a role in that, it's just a misjudgment. And ultimately, I'm going to judge Kyrie Irving on what he does on that rectangle that's the basketball court going forward. And that's unfortunate because we really should have a bigger conversation about what Kyrie does all around, because he is doing special things.
Great job by Windhorse there, breaking that down.
Right. He's actually hurting the causes that he cares about. The more publicity that you give a cause, the better for the cause.
But that's what's fraudulent about this whole thing. When it comes time to do those things, that's when he'll change his mind. Right? Like during the season, but during the off season, if there is something that he really wants to promote and feels the media can help him, then he'll allow it.
And the Nets have been fined $25,000 each because of this media refusal.
Like when he needs the media, and the media won't do this because they're not like me, vindictive. Like you get a call from his people, listen, he's going to be, no, I'm good, thanks. Tell him no. You weren't there when I needed you. Now you need me. No, I'm good.
Well, but you don't want to play that. But if it's for a really good cause, you don't want to do that, you know, so. Right?
Yeah, but he hurts everything himself moving forward. He hurts it. You don't then you're using the media.
And meanwhile, you know what? When 6 or 7 years from now when he retires, guess who's going to be on The Jump?
Oh, and that bothers me. You know. Guys that are creeps with the media should never be hired by media enterprises, but they do. They do it all the time.
Well, because ultimately these companies really just want to get ratings, and they know it gets ratings to get these guys on. Ian Rappaport tweeting, one interesting name to watch as GM searches kick into gear, former longtime Giants GM Jerry Reese. After taking a break for a few years, I hear Reese is ready to get back in the NFL and excited about another potential opportunity. We shall see. Bill Belichick, another rough outing for his Patriots and Cam Newton. He was asked about Cam as the starter.
Bill, I wanted to ask you about just the quarterback. Are you going to stick with Cam next week at quarterback?
Yeah, great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that. Cam's our quarterback.
Got asked a few times in one way or another. Cam is the quarterback.
So is he being, like, snotty there?
Yep.
Great question, Mike.
Yep.
I took it the other way.
You know. You did?
No, I think he wanted to do that. Now, if he says he can't say Cam's my quarterback, because then it'd be like, well, so obviously you thought about it because you had to say it. He was glad he was asked it because I think he couldn't wait to say it because I think he wants to keep Cam. You have to admit this. He has gone out of his way to compliment Cam, support Cam. I think he's all in.
That I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. However, him saying good question, thanks, Mike, to was it Mike Rice?
Yeah.
Was the height of Belichick obnoxious sarcasm.
No, Let's
listen one more time, disagree. And then I would like everyone to weigh in.
Bill, I wanted to ask you about just the quarterback. Are you going to stick with Cam next week at quarterback?
Yeah, great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that. Cam's our quarterback.
I agree with Peter.
It is he might as well have just flipped him off. Great question. So glad you asked that.
No.
Yeah, Cam's our quarterback.
No, because first of all, how can he be irritated by that question? You benched him in the game. Your team is almost mathematically.
Because every week they've been asking.
You could say, I'm glad you asked that, but all due respect to Mike Rice, it's not a great question. It's an obvious question.
Right. Well, that's the point.
But my thing is that he benched him at the end of the game.
That's the second time he's done that.
All right. So that's going to, you know, you're going to get asked that question.
Yep. And he was asked last time and he said the same thing.
But he doesn't want, but he's already benched him. So clearly Bill is thinking, all right, listen, we're done. It's 24-3. We're not winning this game. I'm going to play Stidham, but my plan is to have Cam Newton be the quarterback next week.
Now, if he
does that without being asked the question, then you start to think, well, it must have been on his mind. He was probably
Michael, I'm gonna say something.
He was asked the question because he could not wait tell you Cam's his guy.
I'm going to make you a bizarre comparison, okay, Michael?
All right.
It's not going to make sense, but I have to defend myself here. Don, this take is otherworldly more wrong than my thoughts on John Lennon and the Beatles. This is the most wet take Don has ever had on the show. That was Bill Belichick being so obnoxious. RJ and Andrew, I need your guys' thoughts. Where do you land on this?
I think the fact that Belichick cut him off mid-question to me kind of confirms that it was like, oh, God, here we go. Let me just cut this off right now and end this. I think he was annoyed with the question.
RJ?
This is fascinating. He's been doing this so long. He's actually convinced some people like Don he's actually doing this as a point of good dialogue. I'm not going to say he's a bad guy, but that's a bad guy moment.
Yeah, he was being mean. He was being blatantly mean.
But I would love to be able to get Rice on, get his thoughts on, although I don't know how honest he'd be because he's got to deal with Bill for the rest of the season. But he has gone out of his way to really be supportive of Cam.
But that's what that is. That's what the sarcasm is. The sarcasm is support of Cam.
No, but
he's saying of course he's our quarterback. He's always our quarterback.
But I can't imagine, as bad as Bill can be with the media, I can't imagine that he would be irritated by that question when it's the second time you benched him and now you're under 500 and you're pretty much done. They're going to have to run the table and hope. All right, so they are not a playoff team, all right? Now, after crushing the Chargers, if they had won that game against the Rams, there was a possibility. And as bad as the Raiders have been in recent vintage and Baltimore's sometimes up and down, they're not going to – even running the table is not going to be enough. So it's a legit question, and I don't think he would jump a legit question like that. I think he was happy that it was asked so he can support Cam because he's bent over backwards for Cam. He's been very supportive of Cam Newton. The fact that he's even playing him possibly next week shows the support he has in Cam.
It was such a perfunctory question. There would be no reason for say that's a great question. If he said, I'm glad you asked that, then I'd be all in on you. But for him to say that wasn't a great question.
It was the most basic thought anyone could have. You took Cam. Because Belichick knows this, I'm pulling out Cam. I'm going to let Stidham get reps. We're not winning the game. I'm protecting my old guy quarterback who I'm going with. Then when I get to my stupid press conference, I'm going to have these jabronis asking me whether he's benched. He's not benched.
That's his mindset. When has he ever been sarcastic?
He's always sarcastic.
No. He would have just said, that's a stupid question. Cam Newton's my quarterback.
No. Okay. Well, I'm going to move on. I'm just shocked. I'm shocked and dismayed and concerned. Mike McCarthy, speaking of head coaches, says better days are ahead for the Cowboys. Well, one would hope. They're not very good. 3-9 to you and me. So if there are not better days ahead, I'll tell you what days are not ahead. Mike McCarthy days. You guys think there's a good chance if they finish 3-13, is he back?
Jerry doesn't like to admit he's wrong. I mean, look how long he held on to Garrett. When a lot of people were calling for his job, I think he gives him at least another year. He would look so bad if he banged him after 1 year.
Well, Nolan's going to be out of a job, you would think, right? Changes are coming to that coaching staff.
Well, maybe get them better players and get Jack healthy.
I don't rule out him getting banged.
Excuse me?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll tell you what's coming for sure, and that would be football with great announcers all over your television this Sunday. It's time for your NFL announcer lineup. We'll start at 1 o'clock. The Minnesota Vikings at Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And for this one, the battle of Cousins and Brady, they're busting out the big guns. National time. I'm talking about Joe Buck.
You should be eating salad, you fat little jerk.
The Hall of Famer, Troy Aikman. And the lovely, the talented, Aaron Andrews. Up next, also on Fox, guys, Arizona at the Giants. And, Don, you know, when you see a sort of mid-level Giants 1 o'clocker, you know there's only one man for that job.
It's going to be a quick commute for Kenny Albert.
That's right. Kenny Albert, play-by-play.
I usually play ping pong. I've been doing that for the last week or so.
Jonathan Vilma, who I think does a really nice job, by the way.
He does.
I'm enjoying him. And Shannon Spake, your sideline reporter. Dallas at Cincinnati on Fox. Kevin Delightful Pineapple Kugler, play-by-play. Chris Spielman, your analyst, and Laura Oakman, your reporter. CBS has Kansas City and the Miami Dolphins with, of course, the man, the aspiring $19 million man, Jim Nance on play-by-play.
Hello, friends.
And his rich compadre, Tony Romo.
Never touched him. That's a catch.
What's that worth again yearly, Michael?
$18 million a year.
Hello, friends.
Tracy Wolfson, your sideline reporter. CBS. Houston at Chicago. Your play-by-play man, Kevin Harlan.
Beer is every place.
Joined by Trent Green, your analyst, and Melanie Collins, your sideline reporter.
Going viral. Doesn't Warner know this?
Also on CBS, Denver at Carolina. Andrew Catalan, your play-by-play. James, Jim Lofton, analyst. A.J. Ross, a.k.a. The Woman, your reporter.
Do you know can I stop you for 1 second?
Sure, please.
Do you know there's a New York legendary broadcaster that when he did football, James Lofton was his partner? You know who that New York broadcaster is?
Wow, this is a tricky question.
You do not think football when you think of this man.
Hello, friends.
No, you think football.
And is he still a local guy?
Oh, yeah, and national.
He's local and national.
So you're talking about Mr. Mike Breen.
That's right. We used to work together on NBC.
Well, I did not know that.
Mike's a good football announcer.
Oh, that I know.
He should get back in somehow.
Bang! Rounding out the 1 o'clockers, Tennessee and Jacksonville, and for a game of that ilk, you got to break out Spiro Dedes along with Adam Archuleta, which brings us to 4:05. Indianapolis at Las Vegas, CBS, your play-by-play man, Mr. Ian Eagle.
That's gotten ugly.
Charles Davis, analyst, and everybody's favorite, Evan Washburn on the sidelines.
The lobby is bustling. There is an energy here.
Thank you very much, Evan. The Jets and the Seahawks on CBS. Gumble the Gumble, Greg Gumbel, play-by-play. Rich Gannon, analyst, And Amanda Bilonis, your sideline reporter, brings us to 425 on Fox. Our guy, Kevin Burkhart, has the Saints and the Eagles. He'll be joined by Daryl Moose Johnson and, of course, Pam Oliver on the sideline.
Up in this you guys are messing it up.
Green Bay and Detroit. Adam Amin, play-by-play on Fox. Mark Schlereth and Lindsay, don't talk to me when you see me in the lobby. Zarniak on the sideline.
That this was an unfortunate time in our station's history.
I'm glad I saw it.
Listen, the fact of the matter is, I knew her from her time being on the air in D.C. I was a fan of her work. She had made it to ESPN. All I did was exchange a couple of words with her. I wasn't hitting on her.
Do you know that I had a similar sort of situation? I've never told you guys this. In the cafeteria in Bristol.
With who?
Susie Colbert.
Mm. Oh, no. You didn't go full name it. You didn't go full name it, did you?
I'm Michael K. Just want to say I'm a big fan. And she looked at me like, okay, get away from me.
I had a similar interaction, Michael.
With whom?
With Susie.
Really?
At the old Giant Stadium, got Greg and I our own booth.
Okay.
And they would just put ESPN on it. She misunderstood and thought because she was ESPN that she can go in the booth. So I had to, as nicely as possible, tell her to leave.
Oh, my God.
That's why I got shut down and treated so shabbily.
Come on. She didn't look at you like you were a nobody, did
no,
she?
No, because I was much too, like, excited puppy when I said hello to her. And maybe I seemed threatening. She just wanted no part of the caster.
Wow.
I'm the one that's awkward.
No. The funny part is, you guys have both been telling this whole story, and I've been the one who's awkward. Meanwhile,
but we don't even know what your intent was with Zarniak, but it was uncomfortable for everybody involved, including poor Lindsay.
In a hotel lobby in San Francisco.
Yeah, she had no idea who you were. Clown.
The Chronicles of Zarniak continue. Susie Colbert, by the way, went to Andrew Gumling's high school. Do you guys know that?
No.
Wow.
Why would he tell us? It's an interesting story. He keeps the most interesting things to himself.
I know. Do you ever know that him, Susie Colbert, and Jay-Z had a picnic together?
I didn't know that. No, really. Yeah. I know that he and his wife and Jay-Z and his wife were on vacation together.
Yeah, it was a bacchanal.
Yeah.
Now, Washington football at San Francisco on Fox.
Who's doing that?
Who do you think? I don't say that meaning it's obvious, but when you really think about what that game feels like, that 425 Washington-San Francisco, not that important, but kind of important, who do you think?
Chris Myers.
Yeah. Chris Myers! That's right! Alongside Gregory Jennings and Jennifer Hale, the last 425er, Atlanta at L.A., the Chargers, that is, Joe Davis and Brock Huard, your analyst.
Why in God's name is that not a 405?
Atlanta, L.A.?
Yeah, how is that a 425?
Yeah, I don't know why they bother with that. That's strange. Sunday Night Football, the Steelers at the Bills. Important
game. Hall of Famer Al Michaels.
That is Al Michaels. He's back.
Baseball Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's right. Chris Collinsworth, Michelle Tafoya. Spanish call. Edgar Lopez, play-by-play, joined by Rene Giraldo and Veronica Contreras, your reporter. Monday Night Football, the Ravens and the Browns. Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, he's sound-alikey, Lewis Riddick, and Lisa Salters on the sideline. And that is your NFL announced lineup for this coming weekend.
I'm going to miss a little Tuesday football.
I know. I was just thinking the same thing.
I missed it on Wednesday this week.
Didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Is that it for ENN?
You know what, Michael? I have news for you.
What's that?
That is it for ENN on this, a Friday evening. By the way, if you're interested in that Washington football game, Antonio Gibson out again with the turf toe.
I've got a really good ENN-like story when we come back. And it might actually bring some smiles and some tears to people as they head into the weekend.
Wow.
It's got a real holiday feel to it.
Okay.
So stick around for that. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg and you on Yes or 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.